I hope this comes across not as scrambled as it is in my mind, but it just makes me depend on the Lord more, right? And you can't really put your thoughts together. It's one of the things having this leak, CSF leak, foggy mindedness is just one of just a byproduct of that. So within that, it's helped me to depend on the Lord more than I ever have. So that's what I'm doing right now, okay? So the Lord puts it together. But one of my, this time of being down and separated, not really separated, I never really felt like I was separated from the body at all, but it was a time where the Lord kind of separated me, you know. And some things I had been asking him and crying out to him, and it's just been one encounter with the Lord after another encounter with the Lord. But one of my prayers, as constant as I want to, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is to, I want the love of Christ to control me, right? To be controlled by his love constantly. You know, and that word also means, control means to constrain as well, which means sometimes it means not to say, right? Or not to speak. And this has been talking about that a lot as far as when we, it was so easy to be drawn into being critical. In that same passage, Paul talks about seeing every man in Christ, right? Well, if I want to view everyone in Christ, it begins with me first of seeing who I am and myself in Christ before as I see others. And I think one of the greatest expressions of the love of God or walking in the love of God is forgiveness and understanding his forgiveness and how much we've been forgiven. I think one of the verses I had on my little Bible app the other day was out of Luke chapter 7, when Jesus entered Simon's house, you know, and the lady's there, and she's weeping and then, you know, on his feet and wiping the tears, you know, pretty nasty thing. And, you know, Simon's thinking if he knew what kind of person this was, he wouldn't be allowing this to happen. Of course, that just opened a great picture for Jesus to begin to say and give him a parable about, you know, two people who owed someone a lot, who was forgiven more. And they said, of course, the one who owed the greater debt. And then he says, you know, the person who loves much, was forgiven much, loves much. Okay. But in comparison to that, I want us to see, I don't think it was trying to show that how much of a greater sinner she was than Simon, right? Is that because we're all guilty of the same sin. We're all guilty of Adam's sin. She got it. She recognized it, right? And what she encountered was this forgiveness, because that's what he tells her. You're forgiven. Go, right? So getting to the depths of that, of God's forgiveness of us, and how much we know we've been forgiven is one that, to me, is begins the journey of allowing the love of Christ to control me. In just a few verses, you know, because I was thinking about that one, and then 1 John, you know, chapter 1, which is the famous one about, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you know. And talking about that because these people were confronted with this false teaching, this Gnosticism, you know, and he was just kind of confronting that and telling them that God is light and in him there's no sin, there's no darkness. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet we're walking in the darkness, we're not getting it. But if we confess our sins, which is a word which means kind of the ongoing continual thing, because confess just means to agree with, that not only are you forgiven, but you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, right? But that's the truth about us all the time. Our forgiveness is so great. And even in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul is writing to them, I love this. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. You know, and that word forgiveness we know is in the aorist tense, which means something that happened, right, Bishop, in the past, just kind of affects everything forever, right? That It's almost like, and I used to use this a lot when you're giving the gospel to someone, like a person, you're at a trial there, and you're guilty, and the judge is there, and you're going to be sentenced to death, and then this person comes in and takes the sentence upon himself, right, and takes the guilt and everything that goes with it, shame and all that stuff that was crucified with him, that belongs to him, and takes it for us, and we use that as a gospel, that Jesus did that, right? And then we walk out of the courtroom and shut the door. And that's really true. Because, see, if we believe that that's not true, then we're still, this is how we know if we're still kind of under the law. Because what happened on the law is when, you know, once a year they went and the great high priest would go in and, you know, carry their sins. He would go in and had these little bells on, you know, long as the bells were ringing, it was okay. The bells stopped ringing, it wasn't good for him or for anybody, right? Had to drag him out. But being under the law means that, okay, I confess my sins, I'm forgiven, but then they start piling up on me again. And I've got to continually go back and continually confess all the time because sins are piling up on me again. No, they're not. Jesus took them, right? The word confess is to agree with. You see, I believe this time, this Lenten time, which means to lengthen, I had a vision for a couple of days of an angel kind of circling in here, and he was just dropping this gold dust, and I knew it was the glory of God, but I knew the Lord started speaking to me about this Lenten time that we're in, right? Whether that's a part of your Christian worship or liturgy, just means worship the way we do it. I think it's really cool. It's going to be the best ever, right? As you confess, as the Lord speaks to you about stuff, you're trading up. We're just agreeing with Him, right? I didn't realize when I went down with a sickness how much clutter I had. And that's the way the Lord said, we're just going to get rid of some clutter that you've got. And I had a lot of clutter. All the clutter was doing was just blocking me and keeping me from seeing who I was, my identity in Christ, right? Carrying around a lot of guilt, which is the worst. It's horrible, isn't it? And guilt belongs to Him. I mean, hearing somebody say that he was struggling real bad, he just felt guilty, and Jesus said, you need to give me that guilt because it's mine. And he was like, what? And Jesus said, yeah, that guilt is mine. I paid for it. You give it to me. Same with shame, condemnation, or whatever. Jesus said, hey, that's mine. Give it to me. I paid for that, right? And the scripture about Him shouting over us, you know, we're setting us free from a lifestyle of that, you know, and growing up like I did under the law and started that way. And I'm still having to reprogram my mind, right, to His. And that's just so cool because we think of, in Hebrews chapter 10, I was just thinking of that as Bishop was praying, where it tells us that by one sacrifice we have been perfected for all time, right? To who we are in Christ. And by one sacrifice we've been sanctified, which means made holy or holyized for one time, for all time. There's never another sacrifice. We don't keep having to go back. That's ours. And that's how we even enter into His presence, right? Boldly by the blood of Jesus. And it tells us right there that we've been sprinkled clean by His blood. Doesn't mean I have to be sprinkled clean by His blood before I get there. It's already happened, right? Old Testament pictures of being cleansed. You know what that produces in you? That produces a confidence in your walk with God. When you can go boldly before the throne of grace and you're receiving His mercy and His grace, which is His just everything that He is, His power to conform me, His power working within me to be conforming me to His image in every way, to really walk in the love of God, the love of Christ. I want that to control me. I want to be compelled by that. Bishop gave me a word on, what day is it, Wednesday? Monday? He gave me a word about, what was the word about, what word did you use? Home stretch. He said, I see you in the home stretch. And just the day before, I was flipping through YouTube and I came across Secretariat. If you know anything about Secretariat, you know, or ever watched that movie, Secretariat didn't just win that race. What was it? You said 1/8 of a mile or something like that? I mean, smoked every other, so far that, you know, it set a record that will never be, one of those records that will never be touched again. That's how I want to end, right? Not just this thing I'm having to go through, or this, you know, as God's healing me, which I believe He is healing me. I hope I don't have to go back out there April the 4th. If I do, that's fine. That's just part of His deal. But I trust Him. My times are in His hands, right? The lines have fallen to me. My lot is in His hand. And I've never in this situation have doubted that or His goodness. There's been times when the pain was so intense that I couldn't even hardly speak a word, but all I would say is, I give You thanks, Lord. I give You thanks. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Because I knew this is all be summed up in Christ. And I knew momentary light affliction is producing for me a weight of glory far beyond all comparison. If we suffer with Him, then we'll know the glory with Him. So I pray as you enter this time, this Lenten stretching time, you know, be sick, go for it, man. You know, let God just join with Him, whatever it costs you, it's worth it. I can say that, it's worth it. Whatever it's cost me physically is worth it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Just to even if it's just a glimpse of Him, of more of His majesty and who He is. And I can understand even more now, I'm not fully there, but where Job said, Lord, you know, I used to hear about You, but now I see You, right? And then the Lord did all that cool stuff for him. So I'm pumped. I'm more pumped about this Lent than I've ever been pumped about any Lent. Don't really know what I'm going to give up, you know. TC will ask me, what are you giving up? And I thought, I think I've already given up that. I've given up feeling good. So, but there may be some other stuff. I might, but I don't care. It's not about, that's not a religious thing. It's about saying to Him, you know what, I want more of You. Whatever that takes, it's worth it. Amen.